from Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org. I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this Monday, September 30th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Maine Health has reached a settlement with a group of medical interpreters over unpaid merit raises. As Ari Snyder reports, the dispute comes as the interpreters are negotiating their first union contract.
Most non-union employees at Maine Health typically receive a merit-based wage increase at the beginning of the year. But this year, some medical interpreters did not receive that increase, according to a complaint filed with the National Labor Relations Board in March. A settlement was reached in early September, with Maine Health agreeing to pay the merit increases retroactively to January 7th. Janice Jaffe, a Spanish language interpreter, says the settlement is a relief, but that the whole ordeal dealt a blow to morale.
It really shakes your confidence. And also, people desperately need that money.
A spokesperson for Maine Health says the system is, quote, pleased to reach an agreement on providing 2024 merit pay for our staff interpreters, but did not say why the merit pay was held up. Interpreters at the health system voted last year to form a union, and contract negotiations are ongoing. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
A federal council has released a framework aimed at preventing homelessness across the United States, which Maine advocates say also aligns with their goals. Colin Ryan of the Statewide Homeless Council says American Rescue Plan funds provided some diversion and prevention resources to shelters in York County, Bangor, Portland, and Arista County a few years ago with good outcomes. And Ryan says a new state-funded $18 million eviction prevention pilot program will keep thousands of Mainers from becoming unhoused.
These $18 million are just about to enter to help people from falling into homelessness when they face, you know, an eviction because they're short on rent. This is very timely because if we can keep any more people out of homelessness, there's no more important time to do it than right now.
Ryan says all of Maine's shelters are now full and clients are staying longer because rental subsidies are frozen due to uncertain federal funding. The emergence of huge solar arrays on Maine's rural landscape has prompted concerns that precious farmland is being sacrificed in the process. The state has issued draft regulations designed to discourage building solar on agricultural soil. And it's pitting key climate goals of clean energy, land conservation, and local food production against one another. Peter McGuire takes us to the Kennebec Valley, where farmers are feeling the tensions.
It's just after milking time, and Nate Clark coaxes 55 cows onto pasture land at his Windsor farm. Nate and his wife, Katie, work about 300 acres, but only own about a third of it. They lease the rest from local landowners in order to grow enough feed to make the economics work.
Without those leased fields that we don't own, there's no way you can do this.
And the lease is quite affordable, which also helps keep costs down.
I mean, most of them are free. That's just the way it usually works around here.
Some landowners ask only that the farmers hay the fields or cover the cost of property taxes. But solar companies are competing with farmers for land, and developers are reportedly willing to pay annual leases of $1,000 per acre. Nate and Katie had recently planned to take over a retiring farmer's 15-acre field. Solar panels went up instead.
To give up farmland of any kind seems crazy in that situation. And prime farmland is just so rare.
New regulations proposed by the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry are supposed to balance competing land uses. Developers of solar arrays bigger than 5 acres would need soil tests and a permit, and would also pay fees based on the land's agricultural value. Funds would be used for future land conservation. State Ag Bureau Director Craig Lapine says the aim is to create a disincentive for solar developers to target farmland.
Or as much as possible, provide an economic signal that if a developer has another place to go, they should go there.
The rules emerged as a response by state lawmakers to a solar boom that started 5 years ago when Maine enacted generous subsidies to encourage new clean energy.
Can we pump the brakes a little bit and make sure that by pursuing one very good goal, we are not inadvertently making it difficult or impossible to pursue other important community objectives?
Under Governor Janet Mills' plan, 100% of Maine's electricity would be derived from renewable sources by 2040. But in a new climate strategy, there are also calls to double the amount of protected farmland in the next 6 years, and for Mainers to eat 30% locally produced food. Shelley McGuire from the Maine Farmland Trust says in the 5 years between 2017 and 2022, Maine lost 500 farms and 80,000 acres of farmland. Most of those businesses weren't financially viable, especially with rising costs. But accessing good land is a top challenge for new and expanding farms.
So farmland that's close to infrastructure and markets, farmland that it has really good, high-quality soils, is relatively level, well-drained. Unfortunately, that same land is often attractive to solar companies.
But solar developers say the proposed rules are unfair, poorly crafted, and represent a complete about-face on solar policy in Maine.
Wait, didn't we in 2019 enact pretty aggressive legislation to say, come to Maine, do solar here?
Chris Byers owns Branch Renewable Energy in North Yarmouth.
But then we just keep like making it harder and harder and harder. And then the public perception is that solar is a problem.
Byers says the farmers he works with see solar leases as a financial lifeline. They're willing to give up some land if it means staying afloat. And other developers point to the importance of solar to the state's efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
Meeting our climate goals is not optional.
Lindsay Burgoyne is with South Portland-based Revision Energy.
So whatever siting scheme we come up with for the state, it needs to be able to accommodate the clean energy capacity that we need to build.
Just 4,300 acres of solar arrays have been built in the state, Burgoyne says, far less than has fallen out of agricultural production. And she says that solar developments have a lifespan of only 20 or 30 years.
And there certainly is opportunity for agricultural viability at the end of project lifetime.
But dairy farmer Andy Smith still worries that farm leases will dwindle as landowners are lured by solar company money. Smith operates about 250 acres of land in Monmouth. At least 20 different solar developers have come to him offering to pay $1,000 an acre per year in long-term leases.
Look, there's only so much land, and we're all fighting over it for affordable housing, energy development, and agricultural production.
Smith, president of the Maine Organic Milk Producers, says he supports the proposed rule, but he also knows that solar leases can be good income for retiring farmers or for struggling family businesses.
That's why it's such a complicated issue, because it's not just black and white, which is really hard in our society to, you know, not have things be black and white.
State regulators say they'll know in the next few weeks whether they are ready to publish a final rule or will instead create a new draft for further public consideration. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, the challenges and joys that come with being middle-aged. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.